excuse me, may I back up a little bit? I had posted it on Craigslist before I knew anything was wrong with it.
You posted her car on Craigslist?
Yeah, before I knew anything.
Sell her car?
Yeah.
Did you tell her you were selling her car?
Not so much as telling her, not right away.
Are you on drugs or something?
No, I'm not, Your Honor. No,
that's a dope fiend movie.
No, no, no.
That's a crackhead movie.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
you borrow somebody's car and you put it on Craigslist to sell it. That's exactly what that is. Only a dope fiend does that. Only a crackhead does that. So please tell me you are. Otherwise, we gotta look at you like perhaps you need to be institutionalized.
No.
Either prison or the crazy house.
No, you won't.
Borrow somebody's car and then put it up for sale on Craigslist and then sit there like it ain't nothing to it.
May I explain it?
Yeah.
Take your best shot. What I was going to do, we were going to split the money.
You told me you didn't tell her.
No, I said, when I was going to tell her, the same day I put it on Craigslist, she found out. And I said, I was telling her we were going to split the money.
Now you're giving me some dope fiend story.
No, Your Honor,
man,
I don't mean it like that.
Has she been on drugs or something before?
I used to drink, Your Honor.
I don't know. She was gone for years.
No, drinking don't do that to you.
No, Your Honor.
Okay, so I'm just trying to find out. Judgment for the plaintiff. You insulted me now. You insulted my telling.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't mean
to. You were going to tell her after you put it up that they were going to split the money. Put this woman's car up for sale and she loaned it to you. And then you put it up for sale, and then because it don't run right, you have it jumped.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Boundaries Podcast, where facts are facts and opinions hurt people's feelings. As always, we encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review us on whatever digital platform that you are choosing to listen to podcasts on, whether that be Apple, SoundCloud, Google, YouTube, Amazon, or whatever it is that you do on Spotify. Please go and do that.
But anyways, man, did you do any work today, bro? I just got a vibe off of you that you didn't really do any work today.
Yeah, I did some work today. I tried to start my day earlier so I can get work done before the people that annoy me start working. So as long as I can knock out the major things early, so when they come at me with those bullshit requests and everything, it's like, all right, I got time.
Coming back from an off day is annoying because people tend to make things harder than they need to be. Just answer my motherfucking question so I can get on with my day.
Bruh, I hate that, you know. Jay, I'm through a quick call on, you know. All right.
No,
that's fine. But when we get on the call, hey, well, how's everything in Texas? Don't worry about what the fuck is going on in Texas. No. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. What is your question?
That's the difference between me and you. You talk about it's all good. Knowing you finna get some foolery, just send me the email response and go on about your business so I can continue on with my day.
I think foolery is an undisclosed job requirement.
Bruh, it just might be. I had so many Eclipse questions today. I was like, the sky was gray all day. It got dark reasonably, like it should have, around 1. But then I can tell that it brightened up again like around 3. And then the typical get dark around 7:40 is what happened.
Say, I ain't even gonna hold you. It was storming in my area at that time, so I didn't know if it was the eclipse or it was just the weather.
That's, yeah, because the thing that bothered me the most was, for some strange reason, the machine chose to push this event like it was really an event. To me, even in 2017, it's not an event. It's like, okay, we're going to have an eclipse. what benefits does a person have, or what benefits do you get from an eclipse?
Nothing. A moment in time.
Another reason for you NPCs to pull out your phones and take a picture of something that NASA is going to get a better picture of anyway. You could just take it from there. I mean,
but also let people enjoy things.
No.
Damn.
No, because in Conroe, in Montgomery County, you're probably familiar with that area. There were two people that were enjoying things that shouldn't have been enjoying things. And I'm no longer no.
Hold on. Continue that story, because we might be talking about the same two people.
Okay, so let me give the facts here, because I've been disturbed about this for multiple days. But just so everybody is aware that y'all think Florida man is bad, but Texas man is definitely up there, and Texas woman is up there too. So I don't want to read the headline because I kind of want to be suspenseful with this. But so Jolie, 53 years old, and William Mitchell Keene, 52, they were arrested on March 27th near Houston. Mitchell allegedly caught following kids in a supermarket while touching himself. That was an HEB that I frequented, just so you know. That it was an HEB. Lived across the street from it. Police went through his phone and allegedly found dozens of disturbing images. A nurse and her husband are facing sex crime charges after child porn and video of her having sex with the family dog were allegedly found.
What was the family dog?
The family dog is the biggest breed of dog out there, which is a Great Dane. Mm-hmm. She was getting dicked down by her Great Dane, and it's very possible that her husband was watching. I'm going to continue on with the story, because once again, I'm no longer letting people enjoy things anymore.
No, take your time.
They allegedly included at least one video of Jolie engaged in multiple sex acts with the couple's Great Dane, the world's biggest dog breed. I'm going to emphasize that. Police uncovered the video after confiscating her husband's phone after he was charged with indecent exposure on March 13th. And just so everybody is aware, when I first saw the story, I was like, okay, a pervert, you know, walking around the store, whatever. Arrest this man. But as the shit started unfolding, the father of two, who goes by Mitchell, was caught masturbating while following children around HEB supermarket in spring. Further investigation led him also being charged with indecency with a child by exposure and the discovery of the videos. The couple's home was raided, as it should have been, by heavily armed police. They should have just shot the two. But anyways, their children, 18 and 10, the 18-year-old's child, he needs to change his name and move out of the country. And three dogs were rescued. When they say three dogs were rescued, bruh, they were literally rescued. They saved those animals.
I know at least two of them were Great Danes. I don't know if all three of them were.
When I say they saved those animals, they saved them. I don't know if y'all know about the dog pill in white women, but unfortunately, the dog pill is real. I mean, I know it's not all white women, but it was just a meme at first. But this story right here, being so close, like this whole hit close to home, the dog pill, man, disturbing. So, anyways, the lieutenant says, we don't know what kind of environment they were exposed to on a regular basis. Well, I can tell you what type of environment those kids were exposed to on a regular basis. Maybe they weren't exposed to anything. Maybe they were exposed to a lot, referring to the 18 and the 10-year-old. We both know from, if you're into any type of true crime and just dealing with serial killers, sick individuals that live double lives are very good at hiding their double life. So the kids probably were in the blind, but I'll get to something later. So Mitchell is a former U.S. Navy sailor, and Jolie is a family nurse. She works at Total Men's Primary Care. She was fired on Monday. I wish I'd have been in that HR room. Oh, man, I wish I'd have been a fly on the wall. The couple is it's a picture in the article, a couple picture with their son who died in 2012. The son is appears to be Down syndrome. There were questions about that child. But fortunately, yeah, I have questions about that child. Jolie was charged with bestiality and Mitchell with possessing fewer than 100 images of child pornography, a third degree felony. Both were released on bail. The punchline is coming. Jolie on $5,000 and Mitchell on $50,000. They both returned to their homes for several days. Left parked in their driveway was a truck with a wildlife rescue and relocation sticker on the back. Neighbors told local news the couple were known for their affinity with animals. In one joke, he used to call Mitchell pet detective. The jokes write themselves.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, man.
Look, I have not been in a fight since like the sixth grade. Mm-hmm. If I'm in my local HEB and I see a gentleman stroking himself as he follows children around that grocery store, he gonna have to see me with them dick beaters. I'm sorry. I am throwing hands immediately, expeditiously, with the most intense velocity that I could possibly muster up. I am going to feel like Goku going Super Saiyan 87. I'm going to feel like Hulk Hogan when he hulked up in 1991. I am going to feel like DMX on Def Jam Vendetta when he got his game breaker. I am going to feel like that nigga from Tekken named King that just got the tiger head.
I know who you talk about.
I am going to feel like a fucking Waffle House employee at 2 o'clock in the morning when y'all come in here on that bullshit. Bro, yes, I know I will be arrested. I know, because I will be putting my foot so far up his ass when he blink, he's going to see Nike chicks. I am going to walk a mud hole in that man like Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1999. Bro, that shit is so fucking disgusting, bro. That is just the most vilest shit on earth. And matter of fact, I want to whoop this nigga's ass right now. I want to go out.
I want them
to put an Amber Alert out with his location, and we all need to get together like fucking Voltron and put boots to motherfucking asses.
Dog, I want to beat that nigga up so bad, bro. I swear to God, dog. He traumatized innocent kids, dog. Out of the blue, like, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, understand the ex-Navy thing. Your wife likes fucking dogs. But what can't, like, why are y'all too? How are you
gonna
this
need
sick?
You gonna need the current Navy to pull me off your ass.
Dog. Every single troop in America. My God. Overnight, you just decide to walk around HEB, probably one of the best grocery food store chains in America, and you want to violate it?
that's almost hollowed ground, man.
That's back to my point.
Hollowed ground.
You said let people enjoy things. No. I can no longer let people enjoy things because this generation is sick. If you're around me and I feel like you're doing something that's nonsensical, I'm no longer gonna just sit back if I have a say in the matter. And a say in the matter meaning simply a say in the matter. I know you're probably not gonna stop, but like Jay just said, you liable to get your ass whooped in 2024 now because y'all getting out of hand. Y'all getting out of hand. Y'all don't give a fuck about children. And when I say children, 18 and under, it's not up for debate. I'm not finna be on here like this Twitter we arguing about what an adult is. When I say children, I mean, unfortunately, by law, the people that y'all consider minors. I mean, at the end of the day, if they can't go in the motherfucking store and buy cigarettes in America, if they can't, you know, stay out past midnight in America, they minors, bro. They children to me. You traumatizing these people because you a fucking pervert and probably addicted to porn.
Bruh.
I'm just trying to figure out how you have... You're married, bruh. You got in-house.
But you married...
Y'all decide to fuck... Y'all literally going out rescuing dogs so y'all can have sex with them. That's a 90% likelihood. That's what they've been doing. And they finally stumbled across the breed of dog that was going to get their wife off. And that's why they chose the Great Dane.
Bruh, you like, y'all are a match made in hell because you found another sick bastard is what happened.
Remember what I was telling you the other day? Go ahead, though.
No, go ahead, because I had to look up what dog peeled means, and so I have that for the listening audience who did not know.
Oh, the dog peel has been around for a while. Like, people joke about it. Go ahead. I'm not going to forget bruh. Okay. I want to throw up right now, to be honest with you, so go ahead and get yours off, because I do want to throw up.
Okay, it says, to be dog peeled means to agree that women are so sexy that they will often sleep with big dogs, in part because it's better than having sex with low-value men. Women do this because they want to be controlled by strong men, which is a very base need. So since you cannot identify any strong men around you or men of high value, you find the most prestigious animal that has been domesticated.
Wait till you figure out about the horse pill. Look, y'all, you don't.
I can't even finish that thought. I can't even put that.
Y'all are not understanding why I come at situations like this because of the fact that y'all are so mentally disturbed and delusional that you cannot be saved. There's no save. Y'all can't. Like, I'm dead ass when I tell somebody they cannot be saved. I'm dead ass. Like, this is the worst batch. Like, bro, y'all are fucking children at alarming rates. I'm not gonna give the man a pass here because he's a sick fucking pervert. But the amount of shit that's hitting the airwaves that a specific demographic is like, y'all, in the words of my nigga Trey, what y'all on? Like, straight up, what y'all on? Because y'all are sick. Like, y'all want to be dominated so bad that you're...
You want to be dominated, yet you want to be in control.
Dogs and little boys, dogs and little high school boys. I'm telling you,
bro, it's to use your youth to pass off as a woman that is, you know, between the ages of 15 and 18 when you're actually in your early 30s, just so you can sleep with boys that are the ages of 12 to 15, is fucking disgusting in itself.
So you seen the 23-year-old chick that did that?
Yeah, yeah, I seen that.
She was 23, and she was in a, like, she was fully, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm fucking 12-year-olds. I don't know what it is with the targeting of that 12 to 15 demographic, but it has to be something involving porn or some, you know, black market websites that we're not aware of, probably backdoor Reddit type shit, 4chan. I don't know, but I know in the Texas area for sure, it's been an alarming, people always try to say, you know, we're just getting, no. I don't believe that this was occurring 30, 40 years ago. I think that it's starting to dwindle down. It probably started a long time ago, but the market has gotten bigger for people targeting that group. And I believe how big social media and the internet has become, people are getting sloppy on where they're starting to basically find victims, because I'm reading stories about 12, 13-year-old girls on dating apps, and the first thing that goes to my mind is, okay, here we go, another millennial parent that ain't shit, another millennial parent that doesn't understand the dynamics of, you know, phone security. I mean, this is not the 1940s and 50s where you're leaving your door open anymore, and, you know, the community is fairly safe. And just so y'all understand, when this occurred, where they was out there rescuing dogs and, you know, the child porn, all this stuff, it's one of the safest cities in America, you know, the Woodlands, you know, that area. It's interesting that they label it Spring, because Spring is big, but I mean, that's basically the Woodlands Conroe area. And once again, that's one of the safest suburbs in America. And that's the type of shit you're finding. That was unheard of 40, 50 years ago. And these are, you know, the first thing you're thinking, like, when you see these people, of course, you know, you stereotype them, you know, average looking white couple, not knowing that you peel a couple layers back. These are some sick fucks. And it's not only them, because you sent me an article yesterday. Cosmetology teacher. I mean, immediately when I saw what you sent me, I think, okay, damn, cosmetology teacher. Who's she teaching most? Young girls.
Young girls.
High school.
Young girls who are typically closer to poverty. Well, no, closer to poverty than they are to upper class, because those are typically the ones that go into the cosmetology field. Those other ones who have those parents who both went to college or anything like that, they typically have those desires to go to a college. Those other ones kind of learn a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, very impressionable.
Very impressionable. And let me tell you
just
something.
Just show them a Louis bag or something and say, oh, I can show you how you can get these too.
The area where this is occurring, very familiar with the area, don't live far from it, but I can tell you right now, it's fairly diverse. I'd say probably one of the more diverse areas that's in the Houston metro in comparison to Conroe. You probably have a lot more of a mixture of black and white and less Hispanic in that area, and probably a lot more Asian. But as I dug deeper into the article, it saddened me, because I know that her son went to the school too. So her son was really the mastermind, because her son probably used his popularity when he was once at the school to get some of these girls. And obviously, common sense wise, and this is why I think CPS and counselors on the school grounds are useless, because they don't understand that when you have, like you just said, kids from broken homes and such, when you have that type of situation and you know that that demographic exists at your school, and it's usually at a school like that, I'm telling you, that's a very nice school, you know, less than a mile away. You got $250,000 houses. Like, it's a nice area, but unfortunately, not too far. You probably got Section 8 house, Section 8 apartments, like, right up the street. So that mixture is unfortunate, but to get to my point, you don't have that many disadvantaged kids to where you can't dedicate a certain amount of your workforce to make sure that these kids are getting the right attention at school. But because the public education system is so fucked, these kids really go into the schools worse off than they would if they would have just fucking got a GED and then just jumped into the workforce at 16. Because honestly, look what happened. They were able to come into contact with somebody more intelligent than them, and with more of an ability to manipulate them and emotionally abuse them. Because the minute that kid comes into contact with an adult, which this woman was a predator, once they come into contact with this person and like they start like, oh man, this is like the mom I wish I had, it's a wrap after that. And then you on the campus, you're not realizing that because you're just so consumed by test scores, you're so consumed by tardies, absences, you don't really care about the well-being of these kids. The main thing the public educators are worried about these days is, I don't want no bullshit coming on in my campus. As far as like, hey, I don't want anybody fighting on here. I don't want anybody bringing guns on here. Da da da, this and that. As long as them kids staying out the way, out of sight, out of mind, that's all these educators care about. Because these kids are nothing but numbers. They're nothing but tax write-offs. So these little girls and these little boys that are disadvantaged that come across this pseudo friend, and we're seeing it all. We're seeing it every day. We're seeing it on TikTok. I've been said it was a slippery slope. You got teachers getting younger and younger by the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a general. Go ahead.
Because they've realized that this is a profession that they can go slack in.
Oh yeah, it's public education is a joke. I'm gonna continue saying like they can fight me on this, and while they fight me, I'm gonna be beating up that one nigga too. They can fight me on this, but I literally don't know a single educator that I think is fully invested the way you would see a Mr. Feeney or a fucking like, you know what I'm saying? When you really just think about when we were growing up as, you know, alongside with Gen X and young millennials, when we were watching TV shows and we were seeing those prominent teachers or education, like, you don't see that anymore, bro. Why are you shaking your head?
Oh, because I'm finna say something that I know I'm gonna have to bleep out, and I just was shaking fuck my that head. Shit, bro. No, it needs to be bleeped.
Go ahead. What is it? That's why it's dangerous for people that are the what do I call them all the time? I always say that when it comes to men, we're the gatekeepers.
The gatekeepers of relationships.
And they're the gatekeepers of sex.
Yeah.
So when you have that type of person in a position of power, it's even more dangerous at times than a man with that position of power. Because a lot of times a man exploits that because he knows his leverage is trash. Like, you got this average looking dude, you know, out on the social market with no title or no power attached to his name. It's a struggle. But with them, they have power in the social market, and then they go into the corporate world, or they go into a, like you said, a position of authority like that, their leverage is times 10. So they're really taking advantage.
Yep.
That's dangerous, bro. It's a slippery slope.
You can't tell them no.
Dog. And I'm going to say it again. When you think about what porn has become such a, it's easily accessible. People thought because Texas banned porn, like, motherfuckers wasn't going to just jump on VPNs and still get around it. This country is full of a bunch of horny motherfuckers. So at the end of the day, when you have somebody that is sex deprived, but their demographic holds more sexual power, and then you give them corporate power, oh man, you're seeing it, bro. You can't go a week without seeing one of them molesting a kid.
You can't.
And I don't care what level it's at.
I still haven't watched that Nickelodeon doc, but I know it's some foul shit in there.
Of course. Abuse is abuse, man. Molestation, rape, it's all that shit. And I'm not... And the funny thing about everything I'm saying, it is psychologically... It's not even your fault. It's not even their fault. It's a victim of circumstance. You were born in this era. You were exposed to shit that your mind really isn't capable of understanding or being able to, you know, comprehend or whatever. And I mean, it's taking advantage of you. It grips your soul, just like gambling. I mean, some people are not mentally tough enough to just gamble for fun briefly, and then it is what it is. And we're seeing that. And all they're doing is attacking them as soon as they're basically fresh out of high school now. You start addicts early, it's a wrap.
Because you already
have somebody that's financially irresponsible. Now it's time to attend that gambling with their parents' money, so they don't give a fuck. They doing the most outrageous fucking bets anyway. And for all we know, a couple of them hit. And once again, we're talking about a very impressionable generation. One motherfucker hit, what that mean for the next dude? Oh, shit, that mean I can hit too. Hey, man. The mental health of the West is at an all-time low. You can't convince me otherwise. People are either delusional, simply unhinged, angry. That's why I get so annoyed when those type of people try to use therapy talk with me, because I just sit there and look at them like, are you looking in the mirror? Are you diagnosing yourself? I wonder how many of those people really diagnose themselves.
I would say quite a few, because a lot of them, they don't care about the cure. Oh, I am this way, and I'm just going to stay this way.
That's even more dangerous to me. To be aware of that and to continue to do it, I wonder what makes a person do that. I saw something that was funny the other day. I think it was a parody, but it was a Joe Rogan clip, and he was talking to this dude that was like, I'm going to try crack for a month, and then I'm just going to quit because it's that easy. Just fucking quit. And, like, basically, you know, you figure out that it's a parody, but bottom line, like, he's, like, midway in the interview. You're like, this motherfucker, he's fucked up. He don't realize how fucked up he is. Because heroin, crack, cocaine, it's not that fucking simple to just break the shit like that. That's something that you're introducing to your body, that your body gets used to. And in order for you to break away from it, your body's going to go through hell. And now your brain is attached to it. Your brain is looking for that. Like, I need that hit again. Now you're just talking about a person's natural behavior.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a person's natural behavior, not drug induced. None of that. It's just your normal. This is your behavior.
This is what you wanted to do. You're not.
That's different.
There is no. Oh, I'm doing this because of X, Y, Z. No, this is just what you wanted to do.
You can't blame menstruation, can't blame menopause, hormones, none of that shit. This is who you are. And if this is you, who you are, and you are able to diagnose yourself as such, I think you are more dangerous if you're literally not stopping at any point. All you're doing is, damn, that's just how I am. It's dangerous, bro.
Very dangerous, very fucking dangerous, and to think that it's kind of like we're in the time where we are preaching that, you know, everybody needs to just accept me for who I am. You know, I don't feel the need to better myself, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or anything. Just, hey, just accept me as who I am and deal with it. But the flip side to that is I can accept you as you are, but I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to keep you around me. I don't even have to acknowledge your existence. just because, oh, this, if you can't accept me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Well, I guess I don't.
Let people enjoy things. No. No. Y'all are dangerous. Y'all are sick. Honestly, if this was 50 years ago, I believe a lot of you would be in straitjackets in asylums. Y'all are nuts. I literally was just ran. Segway. I don't know J. Cole's discography like that. But my Delete Later is in his top three. It's not up for debate. But I did notice that he had a bar on there that they considered transphobic. And I'm sitting there like, you spectrum loving motherfuckers really jump on this man's album to look for something to be mad at. Because 9 times out of 10, you probably aren't even that fit. Like, when I look at people's commentary around hip hop now, I don't even think people are even giving artistic takes anymore. People are just on some weird shit. And I'm just like, why are you here? Like, I went down a rabbit hole of people just going back and forth about hip hop being homophobic and transphobic. And I'm like, okay.
Don't listen
to
it.
So what? All right. Y'all not even real. Like he said, beneath it all, you still a pussy.
Bruh, this is what gets me. Because if I can't flip it on the other side and it makes sense, then why are we even discussing it? If somebody, you know, refers to me as they, and I said, no, I'm a man, you know, I'm him, I'm he, and they say, oh no, I'm gonna identify you as they, look, you're heterophobic.
You're disrespecting me too. And I told you about this.
Does that make sense? Absolutely not.
Hey man, hey, I'm really to the point where I feel like as an adult, we gotta start understanding what respect is. And digital behavior is gonna start getting a lot of people killed, bro. Because the amount of disrespect that people think is cool and funny for clicks and for giggles, this shit is really starting to be frustrating. And that's why I just scroll past it. I don't want to debate shit with nobody no more. I don't, dog. Bruh, I'm you and HEB, bruh. I'm charged up now, man, because I really feel like we are such a disrespectful society now. We're extremely disrespectful to the point of, you think you're just going to bully me to see things your way? Nah, we can fight. You come see me.
No, we can throw hands. No, we can throw these hands.
Keyboard warriors, that's not a thing. You know, you're just disrespectful. You're being disrespectful. If you disrespect me, and that's the thing, that's the difference between men and women. Because I'm always gonna say, when you're in the real world, when it's real life, men know who to disrespect and who they better respect. Straight up. Y'all can act tough and y'all can act like y'all 10 feet on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that shit. But guess what? For a lot of y'all, that time is going to come when that person you talking shit to, they not in Fredericksburg, Virginia. They right around the corner from your ass. And they going to pull up and they going to beat your ass.
Say, man, that was this thing on Twitter a few years back, maybe even more than a few, where somebody told this nigga to pull up. This nigga got on a plane to go pull up. You know how bad you want to put that burger on the grill to buy a plane ticket to pull up?
Remember when Kelly Oubre You a bitch. You a bitch. You
your
a bitch.
Mama's a bitch. Your that, grandmama a bitch.
Find me $100,000. That it's worth every penny. Because y'all gonna stop disrespecting me like this. At some point,
the you gotta stand on something.
You have to. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm talking my shit now. Because I know that at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it. But it's just a warning from the No Boundaries podcast on behalf of myself that I pray that they don't come for some of y'all. Because I have enough discipline. I don't engage. Like, that's what the reason why I'm not fucking with Instagram. I don't comment on it. I just be watching. And the shit that I see is outrageous. Because I'm like, bro, you probably ain't nothing but a 16-year-old kid on the internet that your parents pay for, talking shit to this grown-ass man that you better hope he ain't got ties to FBI, CIA, or some shit like that, because the next thing you know, he at your doorstep.
He ain't got ties, ready. He ain't got time, and you don't want to fuck around and find out.
See, y'all, so, people are so unrealistic. Like, when I seen that article about the chick that went from, you know, she transitioned from female to fake male, she got in that bitch and got beat up in 21 seconds. What I told y'all, I said, y'all gonna get people killed.
That is a mental health issue to think that you go from being a woman 1 year to a man next year and that you have the just natural muscle definition and abilities that a man does just because you've assumed this gender. Just because a man assumes the gender of a woman does not mean he can give birth. You seen that video I sent you? I sent you in the group chat where the man's in there. He's dressed from head to toe like a woman with a boner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, good. Just you don't need to see it. But it was like this is what happens when it's a slippery slope. Like you start making exceptions when you really shouldn't be making exceptions.
Speaking of beating people up, look, man.
Hold on. Wait. My girl come out of that bathroom, say it's a man in there dressed as a woman with a boner. I am going to whoop him like Thanos whooped the Hulk. I am going to whoop him like Michael B. Jordan beat the first Black Panther.
Look, man. If another group chat I'm in says that bearded man / woman, we all going to have to fight, bro.
I didn't waste your time with that.
Like, real talk, bro. I don't want to see that shit. I'm tired of it, dog. Like, stop it, man. These people are sick and they just want attention. If we take away the attention, that's going to automatically put them in the position to act right. I guarantee it. That's the problem with society right now. Too many people are getting undeserved attention. If the people that deserve the attention were to get the attention, you will see a lot more act right in society. But all this fuck shit is getting amplified because we're putting the biggest fucking telescopes or magnifying glasses on it, and it's getting out of hand. Because 20 years ago, a lot of this shit that we see right now was nothing but circus freak activity. And these people are realizing, you know what? I ain't got shit else going on in my life. Let me do the weirdest thing I can fucking do, and I'm hopefully I can go viral. Get my 15 minutes of fame.
At what cost?
Shit, ain't got nothing to lose anyway. They losers. Most of them are losers. That's the problem. We too many people that, when you talk about natural selection, shout out to Mr. Rogers. When we talk about natural selection,
I was waiting for you to get there.
You got to understand that a lot of these losers would eventually just die off if we just allow them to be the losers that they are. That may sound cruel, but that's just how the world works. But unfortunately, we have too many losers that are looking like winners. And unfortunately for them, their demise is not going to 100% be their fault, because they were inevitably going to be losers anyway, and the universe is going to correct itself. So when you transition from female to fake male, and then you get your fucking skull cracked, it's natural selection. I don't know how else to fucking say it.
Simple and plain. Like, and I want to say natural selection, but I also want to say you selected this. So.
You selected to be a fucking idiot.
Hey, like if you want to transition, hey, that's your prerogative. But also understand that just because you transition does not make you of that gender.
It don't make you immune to being a fucking loser. Because you're still a fucking loser. I'm saying one of my favorite posts of 2024 so far is like, it specifically said, you know, we don't tell enough women that they're losers, and that's a huge problem, but we don't tell enough people in general that they're losers.
This is true. Bro,
you need to, you're pushing 40, or you're already 40, and this is all you have going for yourself. And I'm not specifying anything, but motherfuckers know when they look in the mirror and they look at their accomplishments, that's what's driving them to the depression and the insanity and just the retarded behavior that we're noticing every day. Like, bro, criminal activity in the average U.S. cities at an all-time high. Don't listen to any mentally ill senior citizen politician, whether it's red or blue. They lying to you, more than likely. I'm telling you with my own eyes. If you were whatever city you in, I guarantee you have some local journalist that's trying to make a name for themselves. A lot of people know the ones that's out in Houston. I guarantee you, if you follow those pages enough, you nosy like I am, you're going to realize, bro, on a daily basis, bro, this motherfucker's getting shot. Motherfucker's getting robbed. It's funny to me the amount of people I had to explain to them what jugging was. And I've been knowing what jugging was since 2011 because the rappers I was listening to were saying this. I'm like, what the fuck is jugging? And I mean, it's starting to become more popular in Texas, unfortunately. But if you don't know what jugging is, natural selection.
No.
Okay, yeah. But you know what jugging is?
Yes.
And I'm not going to ask you, but for y'all that don't know what jugging is, just to simplify it, the simplest way of saying it, you go to an ATM, which I don't know what a lot of y'all go to ATMs for in 2024, but hey, that's none of my business. You go to an ATM, you're not aware of your surroundings, whether you get $20 or $80 or you get $4, it don't matter. If you're unaware of your surroundings, as you're pulling away from there, you don't realize that you're getting followed, and you pull up to, you know, your normal Sunday Tarjay run. As you're getting out, somebody come knock your ass out and take your shit. Jug. You thinking about, oh, that's just robbery. Well, yeah, okay.
There's a term for all kinds of robbery going on, too.
Jug. Why are you not aware of your surroundings in 2024?
You need to move with, not only do you need to move with a level of skepticism and awareness, but you also need to move with a little bit of, how do I want to say this? Mystique. You want to move in with a little bit of mystique. Like we've talked about this, you know, posting exactly where you are on social media, you know, wait till you leave to post that shit. And also, when you're posting that shit, remember, if you're telling people you're not at home. I looked at my social media account the other day for some other reasons, but the last post I posted was in February. I'm just gonna talk through that. I'll talk through that. The last post I posted was in February, and it was a picture. I took that picture in September.
Damn.
That is how delayed I am when it comes to.
Shit, most of my food pics be like 4 days old. I'm not a celebrity. Nobody cares where I am. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if I feel like sharing something, I'm going to share it. I'm not an oversharer because I don't care what anybody says. Oversharing is a mental illness. I find it disturbing that, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, a personal journal or something like that, or a close group of friends where you're sharing things. That's cool. But to overshare to the public and you're definitely not a celebrity, you got problems. I mean, you're coping in a dangerous way.
Like, who do you think you are?
That too. I mean, it's a lot of influencers out there that do that. You know, they'll have an hour worth of content that they recorded in one day, and they could stretch it out over 4 or 5 months. I got homeboys that do that, and I get that because they're doing it solely for marketing purposes. Once again, they operate their lives as a business because a lot of them are personal trainers. I got a homeboy that's in the real estate that does that type of stuff. You know, I got a couple of friends that are serious about TikTok. They like the engagement they get on there, so they do things like that to be entertained. That's fine. But if you're just the regular Joe, you're common folk, and you're just always posting when you're leaving, when you're out and about, I'm going to assume that you don't have, like, most of the people that you fuck with don't know anything about you, you know, as far as where you live, where you work. So if that's the case, cool. I just find that hard to believe, especially if you're a local, you grew up in the town, like somebody knows where you live. And these ain't the safest times, bro. And when I say these ain't the safest times, you got to realize, man, I think you have a word for this. What word? Because you in the finance world. What's the word for, like, the distribution of wealth? It's like it's uneven. Like, it's like regardless of the demographic, it's a lot of motherfuckers just walking around here that's not well off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that the best way to say it? Distribution of wealth is not unfair. It's probably as worse as it's ever been. And shout out to the Californians out there that said, fuck everybody that works at 99 cent only store. We're gonna
371 stores. Bleh, bleh, bleh.
The crazy thing about that shit is I constantly be looking at mainstream media just to see, like, hey, at any point are they gonna, you know, say, hey, you know, hey, I get it. If you wanted to keep up with, you know, minimum wage since 1990 or whatever, minimum wage is supposed to be like $24 an hour right now. I understand that. But clearly, there are economists that are smarter than me that understand why this occurs. And it's not, I don't believe it's solely in the hands of CEOs and shit like that, because of the simple fact that, you know, when I look at the business ladder, the motherfuckers, do I think a motherfucker that works for Jeff Bezos deserves to be making what Jeff Bezos makes?
Of course not.
You working for Jeff Bezos because Jeff Bezos, that's his ideal. His ideal became what it is today, and it puts you in a position to be able to have this job. I am in no way, shape, or form pro-billionaire, but I do find it weird, and I've said this before, between episode 1 and 300, shout out to us, but I've said it before that I have no problem when Fenty, Rihanna's a billionaire, Beyonce's a billionaire, Diddy's a billionaire. It's all cool and cute when it's the black billionaires, but when these white billionaires become billionaires and you utilize their product on a daily basis, it's a problem. I think it's kind of weird, you know, a little hypocritical, some may say. I get it. The distribution of wealth isn't fair. I get it. But once again, when you got a billion-dollar ideal, Like, I mean,
why aren't you making a billion?
I'm not knocking a dude that starts a podcast and becomes a millionaire off his podcast. I ain't knocking that shit. I'm not finna tear that man down and be like, hey, podcasters should be making $1 million. Shit, if he got $1 million product. Like,
what am I supposed to say? Who am I to say that person's hard work and everything that they put in and their creativity? Nah, that's not worth a million. Well, apparently Spotify, Google Play, Apple, SoundCloud, whoever Tidal, thought it was.
Yeah.
Whoever thought it was. And hey, and if you don't think if you think your product is better, you need to get a better job at marketing, because you should have been out there too.
I mean, I could sit here all day and be like, shit, I think if I was to do podcasts, if we was in a situation where we were doing Shannon Sharp, and I feel like we're better than them. But guess what? They position themselves in life to where when podcasting became a form, they were already, when you look at net worth and the shit that they accomplished, it makes sense. Who am I to knock them? Like, he already had $1 million football career, already had $1 million sports commentating career. Now he has a podcast. So his exposure is way bigger. I ain't knocking that.
Jeff Bezos already got the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, Bezos started in the garage, you know. And even when it's nepotism, like I was telling y'all the other day, like, I can't really speak on nepotism because I believe I'm not going to die about a legacy, but I do believe legacy is important. And mm-hmm. if I was to make $1 million, why don't I just sit there and watch Elijah struggle for? What the fuck kind of, like, I'm not even a LeBron fan, but I hope Bronny gets drafted second, third, fourth. I don't care where we're. I hope he becomes an NBA player. And I mean, cool.
But at the same time, it's like, shit, it's not Bronny's fault he's Bronny. He didn't get to pick his parents.
No.
Oh, you just living off your daddy. I mean, wouldn't you too? If I'm like, I'm trying to do something on my own, but at the same time, I don't have to.
The crazy thing is the way people switched up, because I used to watch that boy highlights. I think one of my favorite high school, you know, players I've seen like in the last 3 or 4 years is Imani Bates. I like the way he played. I think he had a, you know, real nice skill set. I think he's probably better than Cooper Flagg, but and I also think he's probably like, it's crazy, dog, but because of how the machine works, because I've been watching, you know, I don't know if you saw it, but I like Grant Nelson when he was in North Dakota. Like, I liked his highlights and I seen him play. He plays for Alabama. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. He's probably not a lottery pick, but the guy got skills. And if we paid attention enough to how certain people transition into the league, you know, it's interesting because I didn't think Jalen Brunson was going to be what he was. And I watched him a lot at Villanova. I didn't think Mikal Bridges was going to be what he was. I thought these guys at best were going to be role players. These guys, you know, if not, they're first and second options. And you really can't tell a lot from a guy's college career, because if you look at Anthony Davis's stats when he was at Kentucky, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, we knew he was going to be great, but his stats weren't the greatest at Kentucky. He made an impression. He broke some records, but it wasn't no offensive craziness. So when I see that, I'm like, hey man, and I tell my son this all the time, bro, a lot of players, dog, once they get that opportunity, that's all it's about. It's literally opportunity, because if you have the skill level to play D1 basketball, man, get this guy some pro runs, get this guy some minutes. I mean, look at Grady Dick.
I mean even looking at this Anthony Davis roster, team from Kentucky, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other players went to the league.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I mean, I don't have to I ain't got to do a lot, because, you know, I'm playing with, you know, other people that are head and shoulders above the competition too.
Yeah, that too. That's true too. But you know, at the end of the day, man, I'm just saying, I saw Bronny highlights. A lot of people thought Bronny was next level. Unfortunately, LeBron James Sr. He's not LeBron James Sr., is he? He's just LeBron James. I'm tripping. Yeah, I don't know why I said LeBron that. Bronny is such a weird name. For a long time, I thought Bronny was his nickname.
It is his nickname.
What's his name?
His name is LeBron.
But he's not a junior?
No.
His name is Bronny James, bro.
All right, let me double check.
Yeah, I think his name is Bronny James.
No, he is a junior. LeBron Ramon Bronny James Jr. He is a junior.
LeBron does. He's a Capricorn, so he definitely doesn't like his age. We ignore it, but it's there.
Wait, what do you mean he doesn't like his age?
I mean, we get old, and I think Capricorns tend to be more stoic about it. Tend to be like, yeah, I'm about to be 40, but let's not dawn on it. Like me, I'm the type of person, like, I got gray hairs, but I'm not finna sit here and have a conversation with you about my gray hairs. It annoys me. I'm getting old. Leave me the fuck alone. And
Respect.
With LeBron, calling him a senior would be, that'd disgust him. But he's a senior. And I didn't know that because
he definitely does not have James Senior on his
jersey. That's why I was like, hold on, is his name Bronny? And I was just thinking Bronny is such a weird name. Okay, so
what I've learned is if you change the middle name, you're not really junior anymore.
So, but if you're a junior, that means that's LeBron's name. LeBron is LeBron. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. LeBron James Senior. Learn something new today. I think Bronny had nice highlights. I think LeBron James just made a mistake by letting him go to USC. I think he should have went to a school that was already a contender just so he could be in that, you know, so he could experience March Madness. He should have probably went to Ohio State. Should have probably, you know, could have probably shipped his ass to Michigan or something, you know.
He should have went somewhere where they could actually use him.
That too, but I mean,
I don't think he's a horrible player, but just in that USC, like those,
that was a bad team.
The USC is a bad team. You couldn't have got on the UCLA. Like you should have been in the Midwest somewhere where they could actually use you. And then so there isn't such a microscope on your 5 or 6 points a game, because otherwise you'd be in an area where it's like, oh shit, you know, you probably starting. You probably gonna get, you know, 15 shots a game.
There's so much, like me personally as a man, I put pressure on my son to be his own man. So it's almost like I like when he's away from me developing his own personality, and me, I don't want to just be rubbing off on him and he's just another version of me. Like when me and my son are together, we're different. I mean, he does some similar things to me, but we're different. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I never smothered him. I wasn't clingy. You know, I allowed that space, and I think that that's important. And unfortunately, I don't think LeBron did that, because in my opinion, he should not have went to school in California. Go to school in the East, where the basketball competition is more physical. And at the end of the day, I mean, the toughest schools are in the East. West is more finesse basketball. Honestly, you would have been better off in the South. Like I said, old boy went from North Dakota to Alabama. And at North Dakota, he was number one option. Get to Alabama, he's like third or fourth option. That just lets you know that talent level. And I mean, even Pat Beverly did it. I want to say Pat Beverly went, you know, basically from the Midwest and came down to Arkansas, because you want to go where you're actually pushed. West Coast basketball is too finesse. Sorry, it's just you get Paul George, you get James Harden, you get elite players, but they're more finesse.
Yeah.
The Kawhis are like, you, oh shit. You don't get a lot of Kawhis coming out of the West.
He went to San Diego State?
Yeah, I'm just saying, they from California in general.
Yeah.
You know, DeRozan, I mean, he's more finesse-style basketball. I mean, they can get physical with you, but that's not their game.
That's not their game.
No, I mean, Damian Lillard, probably the prime example. Damian Lillard ain't no physical guard. He's smooth, finesse, and he's shooting that bitch from 50 feet. He don't really want to get down there and bang like that, but he will if he has to.
Cat went to Kentucky, right?
Yeah. But he's from Canada.
Oh, goddamn Canada.
They're soft.
Canadians.
Them niggas soft, but they cold. Because they just finesse.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? That style of basketball.
Shai Gilgeous Alexander is cold. Finesse, but he's cold.
Flop God. Flop. I see him doing an egregious flop the other night. I'm like, bro, you trying to sell that shit too hard.
That should have gave you a tick.
Hey, man. Hey, real, and I ain't gonna stay on this too long before I talk about the Great White Hope. But y'all got to stop watching basketball above the high school level, thinking that the officiating is going to be up to your liking. It's just not. They're not there to officiate and really get it right 99% of the time. I mean, they're going to do, matter of fact, that's probably what they're going to do. They're probably going to get it right 98% of the time. If you're playing basketball at the high school level and below, you got a lot of tryhards that are trying to get to that level. So they're really trying hard to not miss anything, especially with limited technology. You got NBA refs and NCAA refs that can literally do replays, and they still get it wrong. And then the technical stuff, the carry in the basketball, the travel, stop it. This is entertainment now. They're not trying to stop plays because somebody took two extra steps.
No.
I'm sorry. Dude could carry that bitch from the first free throw line to the next. If that shit was highlight worthy, run that shit back. We ain't calling nothing. I say that to say I understand that UConn was the better team when they played Iowa, and that last call was disgusting. But the fact of the matter is, it's high-level basketball, man. And at this point...
Hold on. It was disgusting, but it was the right call.
My argument is, people say it's the right call, but if you watch an NBA game, specifically the Warriors, bruh,
it happens all the time. No, I
can't. It happens all the time.
Even like in football, they say there's holding on every single play. So it happens all the time.
Exactly. In the last 4 seconds of a game, though, and I talk up to my refereeing friends all the time, and I know what you're going to say. It doesn't matter for last 4 seconds, but that's the thing. It's usually the mindset. In the last 4 seconds, we're going to play it out. In a game that big, in the last 4 seconds, we gonna play it out.
To me, it's kind of like, hey, I might have missed it earlier in the game, so you got away with that one. Now I might have caught it this time. You know, I think that's what brings the balance. I don't get every call, and you know, the timing isn't gonna be perfect. I might have missed that in the first quarter and with 8 minutes left to go. I might have missed that, but I caught it here.
Yeah, and
Like they say, one play is not going to turn the game. There was missed shots. There was, all kinds of bad calls and blown calls.
UConn sold that game. I'm proud to say I was 1-1, though. I definitely thought UConn was going to win on both sides. I just knew Iowa didn't. You couldn't sell me on Iowa. You just couldn't. They didn't have enough.
Iowa was able to beat UConn and LSU because, and I even heard them talking about it during watching them play South Carolina. By the time Iowa has the rebound, they already got somebody at the other 3-point line. They weren't necessarily cherry picking, but they was getting out. Like, all right, cool. If our power forward and our center and our small forward are going to get the boards, my guards are going to leak out. That's how they got ahead of LSU on a lot of plays. Because LSU hit a bucket, they start celebrating. Iowa, Kevin Lovin, that hoe down the field. Down the court. It's like, boom.
It's fast-paced basketball. It's smart. At the end of the day, when you're playing a team like Iowa that really only has one or two options scoring-wise consistently, you got to figure out a way to eliminate them and make them beat you somewhere else. And I don't feel LSU did that or UConn. I felt like it was too much, oh, this matchup is going to work. We're just going to play it out like this. I'm like, nah, man. I actually think they did a good job on Caitlin Clark. She went 8 minutes without scoring. But because they just love to glaze the fuck out of Caitlin Clark. And I'm going to tell you why. The real reason why, and it's the same shit with Cooper Flagg, it's going to be the same thing with this Matt guy that comes out. And, we all got white friends, but the fact of the matter is Caitlin Clark is the supreme American white girl. No tattoos, from what I've seen. Really clean cut. Doesn't even look like a basketball player. And right now, professional sports is loving that. They're trying so hard to get away from the product that is hard R field with tattoos everywhere. And look at what's going on with the NFL draft. Like, you got your, like, top 10 picks that are insufferable. You got it to the point where some of these guys are not even probably going to go in the lottery because their attitudes are so shitty. And it's sad because, and I've said this many times off air, like, these young black kids are starting to become the white kids that they once despised. Like, they're starting to become entitled little brats. And regardless of the work they put in their skill set, it's still unacceptable when you think about, like, hey, bruh, when you think about where we come from to where we are now, you know, you got to be a lot more, how do I say it? You know, be more of a class act. But because we live in a time period where specifically millennials and Gen Z, they just have to prove so much that we don't have to abide by the rules and fuck white supremacy. Bruh, white supremacy in 2024 is not the reason you're getting robbed by a nigga that looks just like you. Like, white supremacy is not the reason you're broke in the bar that you're going to that's black owned is charging you a retarded service fee. That ain't got shit to do with white supremacy.
It does not. No.
It's just pure ignorance and the lack of accountability. Do better. Because white supremacy ain't got shit to do with a cosmetology teacher pimping your little kids that look just like her. Because I guarantee you most of her targeted, most of the kids she targeted look just like her. They ain't got shit to do with white supremacy. It's 2024. I've said this on the last episode. If we can't get away from that mentality of blaming them for everything, we're going to forever be cooked. We already on Benny Hunter levels right now. And I'm telling you right now, the next level is Javis's barbecue pit. That's a whole nother level. You make it to Javis's barbecue pit, bro, you're done. And we're headed there. He cooked the top off that motherfucker. That's how cooked they are. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, say, man.
When you get to that level of cook, we are reaching those levels. It's a problem, dog.
And to quote you, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better.
I don't think they can be saved. What's the name of that movie one more time? The Academy of Magical Niggas.
The Academy of Magical Niggas? I gotta go back and look.
Before
the American Society of Magical Negroes.
My title better. Anyway, I got an assignment for you, man. I've been holding back on this assignment for months now. And you're going to blow my mind if you say you've done it. But watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I've done it.
Okay. I'm going to say something that's going to give the hottest take. I think Donald Glover is reaching Jamie Foxx level of talent.
I can see that.
I mean, I think that shit, I've been looking and I don't feel like it's being talked about enough, but Mr. and Mrs. Smith is not even Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's a relationship. Like they hit on some shit on there. And I was like, damn, they really went there. You know, besides all the DEI political bullshit that you like, they actually, it gave me Atlanta vibes first season,
mm-hmm.
The way they, you know, intermingle some shit. And, you know, I think, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you get a chance, you know, Amazon Prime. I think Mr. and Mrs. Smith is worth, you know, talking about. I feel like it's a conversation we probably should have. You know, I probably would like to do like a deep dive on it somewhat for like 5 minutes and just to see what you thought about certain things. But I think it's a heavily slept on show, mainly because of the, I would say the blackwashing or the, you know, the anti-whitewashing of it. But I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you could do anything with it. And the fact that it seems like it's like 90% Donald Glover's ideal, like that's his shit. Like, when I'm sitting there, like, damn, directed and written, but I'm like, damn, this dude has a lot of skill. And I'm sitting here listening to his music, and I'm like, fuck, bro, he's not too far from reaching those levels. He just has to get the awards. I wonder if he's ever going to get his just due, but the dude's talented. I was actually shocked by it. I was like, damn, this – I watched all on the plane, and I was just like, damn, this – pretty good show. I'm surprised you never said anything. You know, talk about gatekeeping.
Come to think about it, I think you just said you weren't going to watch it when we brought it up.
You had to find it.
I might have
probably to never watch the trailer. I don't watch trailers no more. I'm serious. Like, I it's no point.
But I thought it was so good. Like, I tried to like stretch it out and was like, nah, I'm just gonna binge this shit.
Just finish it, bro. I hope that's it. I hope we don't get another season. Just in there, because if they give us another season, I don't really know where they're gonna go. I mean, they can go many places, but
yeah, I was gonna talk. Yeah, I'm just gonna.
Yeah, we'll get into it another time, man. I think it's worth talking about. And people that haven't watched, like I said, I think it's worth watching. I think it's a really easy watch. And once again, I don't like talking about art with people. That's why I don't really make recommendations, because I don't really give a shit about people's opinions about art. But this one I would defend, just like I would defend Mike Delete later. I defend that album. And I defend him not wanting to beef. I don't think that's who he is.
I don't defend that shit. That shit, like, like, you know, that's not you. But who put that battery in your back to get out there? And at this level in your career, it's like, what was the pressure?
I mean, Drake a pussy though.
And I can.
J. Cole said something.
This is true. And at the same time, it's kind of like, hey, don't, I don't know. I just the walking it back just kind of like
I mean, even you if, can't really walk it back.
No, you can't. That's and like, I really while we were on here, I looked and I was like, okay, he still has that 7 minute drill is still on Tidal. At least I didn't check Apple Music, but it's just kind of like, hey, you know, I sent this shot. I got out of pocket, this and this, you know what? My bad, big dog. But yeah. And that's him. And I get it. But at the same time, I'm leaving it out there.
It's
out there forever, but it's kind of like, all right, you know, shoot, Kendrick will shoot these shots across the bow and just like to spike up the healthy competition. Like even the podcast I've been listening to, we know they ain't finna get out in the streets and scrap. Isn't life or death, like, you know, but you know, to get on the mic and say, all right, if we the big three, I'm finna separate y'all from me. And that's what Kendrick said. I'm finna separate y'all from me. So Cole said, all right, cool. I'm gonna separate y'all from me.
And I think what J. Cole did with 7 minute drill, and we can end on this, even though I didn't really want to go here. That wasn't even the best song on the album at all, in my opinion, by far. But with 7 minute drill, I just heard it more of a warning shot. Like, hey, bro, this is who you are. Don't make me get on your ass. Like, that's all I heard. I'm like, all right, cool. Didn't like the flow he chose on that one, because I've heard him be more aggressive and, like, a lot more mean than that. And I'm just like, all right, this cool. But, I mean, as a collective, the album was nice. To be a surprise drop clears 50% of Drake's catalog.
For me, I think it was Middle Child where J. Cole said, we the big three, like we started the league. And then Kendrick to say, fuck your big three. It's just big me. Why do I need to shoot a warning shot?
Man, to get into the mindset of an artist, it's hard, bro. I can't explain it. But
I'm looking at like, wait, was that directed at me? Yes, that is directed directly at you.
Once again, bro, social media, though, that's why I think it's just best to leave it alone. I feel like when you, and I mean, because it was interesting to me that, you know, he had a TDE member on the album, and that's funny. So it let me know in that moment. I was like, man, maybe this 7 minute drill was a little bit rushed. That I figured out, you know, a 7 minute drill really is a 7 minute drill. That's all interesting. But once again, minus that, let's talk about the body of work. It's a nice album to me, But I think because of the spectacle and, you know, him quote-unquote walking it back, it kind of hurts the prestige of the album, but still a good album. Like, I don't know his discography off the top of my head, but I've listened to a few J. Cole albums, and a couple of them that put me to sleep. I'm not the biggest J. Cole fan. I believe Kendrick is better. So that's why I'm just like, Kendrick, you a bully. Because I don't know how your top five goes. We've had this conversation before, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Okay, because I put, me personally, I'm taking Big Sean before Cole. But I'm, you know, for me, it's Kendrick, Sean, Cole, Drake, Crit, Wale, for that millennial rap, those millennial rappers. That's for me. So, I mean, I feel like if Sean was to really get on the mic and be like, hey, I'm finna go at a nigga, I don't think a lot of niggas is fucking with Sean.
And see, from that perspective, like, that's not Sean. So if Sean got out there and started shooting, it's kind of like, wait, what are you doing, Sean? Like that's not your style of rap. But then it's like, yeah, I'm capable of it, but that's not me. And for Sean to walk it back, I wouldn't be shocked by it.
I think it's because people fail to realize, man, J. Cole was an accident. J. Cole should have had the same career as Lupe Fiasco. But because the machine got behind him at the right time, and he's in the era that he's in, J. Cole is able to be J. Cole. But realistically, J. Cole, Crit, and Wale probably should have the same amount of success. Honestly, they're backpack rappers.
I can see that.
Straight up. Like, J. Cole is, his career is really a blessing. And to be honest with you, outside of, you know, predominantly black circles, I don't really think that people fucking with Cole like that. I mean, it's like Joey. I don't think like Joey Badass.
Do you think J. Cole should have been Chance the Rapper? Because just think about it. Chance's mixtapes, 10 days, acid rap, fire. You come out, you get the coloring book, the album that's not an album. Friday Night Lights is J. Cole's album that's not an album. And then you start laying eggs.
I'm glad Chance the Rapper's getting a divorce.
It's fucked up to say, but it's like, I hope he gets back on drugs.
I mean, not only that, because I still listen to some of the new shit he puts out with, like, Vic Mensa. Like, Chance the Rapper still could spit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I don't put him into that bucket with them. I think he's a little bit younger. I think, and I also think Chance the Rapper is probably a better performer than all of them. I think he's more creative. The rest of them niggas is like, they don't come with that energy on stage. So they just, their prowess is more on the fact that they are popular artists. People know their lyrics. But stage presence-wise, seeing Chance the Rapper, shit, I feel like he was on the verge of being Kanye if he just stayed, you know, clear-headed. And I personally believe marriage doesn't benefit everybody. You're not finna go Jalen Green, scorch earth after you, you know, get married or get a chick pregnant. This shit is a distraction for some people. So those first three projects, I mean, I consider them close to being classics. And I'm almost willing to bet a lot of people would agree. I mean, outside of people not liking his voice, but Chance the Rapper is gifted. Now, I still stand on J. Cole is in that tier. Lyrically, with those guys, I'm surprised his success is on the level of being in a conversation with Drake. But success-wise, Drake is still way more successful than him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Drake isn't your lyrical rapper that Kendrick and Cole are. No, but as success-wise, yeah, he's lapped both of them.
And I can't consider Kendrick as lucky because he has the Dr. Dre machine behind him. So once he had the Dr. Dre machine behind him, I felt like, okay, it's only up from here. I felt like if Nipsey would have got that for real cosign, he would have been fine. Like, getting Interscope behind you, that's a motherfucking machine. That's why Glorilla's doing what she's doing, because she got Interscope behind her, which is insane. But you get that, you get Lior behind you, bro. You finna be getting Caitlin Clark glazed, like, for real. Like, straight up.
Oh, yeah.
Look, bro.
That cosign means a lot.
That's huge.
That is not the Jay-Z cosign. This is the
This is
a whole different level.
And to end on this note, this generational, the reason the J. Cole thing don't bother me that much is because I just don't feel like this generation of rap is so memorable and has so many moments that matter to my age group. I feel like beef ain't really beef. Like, you're not really gonna get any real beef, and
which is fine.
See, you're saying that now, but when motherfucker 50 was going at Jai, you was eating that shit up.
Look, I don't mind that the beef isn't life threatening. I don't mind that.
I never took the shit serious, even when I was young, but I like when beef gets disrespectful. When Cam went at Jay, that was probably some of my favorite beef, bro. When he, because Cam is disrespectful. When Cam went at Jay, when Nas went at, like, those were good times in hip hop. And you were like, bro, ain't no coming back from this. Like, you can't apologize your way out of this. And I felt like that was that back then. But now it's like, you can apologize your way out of this shit. Bro, you had Jeezy and Gucci Mane on stage together. Come on, bro.
This is true. Come on, bro.
Let's be real. But hey, man. Episode 301 in the books. At this point, we're just rambling. And that's cool.
At the start, we were just rambling.
We ramble all the time. And that's what makes it great. But what you got, bro? You ain't got nothing, man? You ain't got nothing else? Getting ready to eat and go to bed, huh?
Nah, I got some other shit to do.
Uh-oh. I don't like the way you said that.
I just got some other shit to do.
You sure? It's getting late, bro.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock, but, you know.
Okay,
it is,
man.
What it is.
Well, the next NBA playoffs is coming. Just throw out your early prediction now. Who you got?
I'm going to say the Nuggets repeat.
Okay. What's your favorite series going to be if it was to start today?
I'd have to check the standings, but I see Boston losing in the second round.
Ooh, wow.
I see them losing in the second round. They'll do well in the first, as long as they avoid Miami, because shit, nobody wants to see Miami in the first round. But I
do
see
you
them
know
losing
how much
in the
better
round.
They are than everybody?
Who?
Boston. Have you seen like what they've been doing, bro? They're better than every team in the NBA.
And we have historical data on Boston that when it's nut cutting time.
Yeah, I feel you. And I say that, like, I mean, like individual stats and the way they beat teams. I understand OKC and Minnesota doing, like, but Boston is pretty impressive this year.
We could take this offline because, like, fuck around and let fuck around and let Philly, like that business talk, take this offline. Yeah. Fuck around and let Philly slip into the playoffs, and you got to see them in the second round. And you have basically arrested Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey dropped 50 the other night.
Multiple times this season.
Like three times this season. That's a legitimate 1-2 and I give Jaylen Brown his props because he's due props. He stepped up a lot, but
they got a full punch. Boston got a full punch. That old tough nigga.
Is it showing up?
No joke.
Is it showing up every night?
Joel Embiid ain't showing up every night. You know why? Because his cheating ass gonna load manage.
You've already load managed.
Nothing was wrong with him. Philly is already load managed. Nothing was wrong with Joel Embiid. He didn't care about the MVP. He rested, bro. He's gonna be a problem. I give you that. But second round, I mean, we got the top three: Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee. It's gonna be tough. But my favorite series, you know, and I promise we're gonna end here. My favorite series is gonna be whatever series the Clippers are in. I want to see Clippers and I want to see Pelicans. I want to see what they're gonna do. I think those are two teams that you do not want to come across. Like, they, yeah. I think Magic is going to be a first round exit, but I'm still going to watch them. But anyways, man, I'm saying this because that's really all the sports we have left at this point. This was fun, but I'm hungry now.
Well, quit talking, nigga. Shit.
So, as always, thank you and you're welcome. With that being said,
this has been the No Boundaries Podcast. Thank you for listening.
But ever since the dawn of civilization, people have craved for an understanding of the underlying order of the world. There ought to be something very special about the boundary conditions of the universe. And what can be more special than that there is no boundary?